I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Hey everyone, Mark from Guitar Nerds here. We're joined this week on the podcast by the internet's Mary Spender. She joins us for the main podcast to talk about the news and general questions. But over on the Patreon episode, patreon.com/guitar nerds, we do an in-depth Q&A. Go to patreon.com/guitar nerds to find out more. Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds podcast. I'm your host, Mark Pack. I'm joined this evening by Jay Cross.
Hello.
And Mary Spender.
Hello.
Joining us via the power of the internet. Hopefully, we've had some connection issues. Hopefully things are going to hold up. No Joe Branton this week.
Who?
Indeed. And Matt Knight is off on his travels in Japan. We had confirmation today that he has landed and he's already shopping.
He's already sent us through pictures of visits to secondhand guitar stores.
Yeah, that's where he is at the moment. He said basically it's the equivalent of like a cash converters, but everything is amazing and really well priced.
And probably not nicked.
Maybe we shouldn't say that about cash converters. It'd be fine. I'm sure.
Oh, that's a brand, isn't it?
They do thorough checks.
Yeah.
There's everything in there is definitely obtained by legal means.
Absolutely.
Nicked
is Sussex dialect. It's Brian dialect.
It means definitely not. It means fully
legit.
Legit.
Yeah. It's totally nicked, mate.
Yeah. Exactly.
We should start that.
We shouldn't start that. Okay. This could get us in a lot of hot water, I think. we are, probably for the next few weeks, actually, kind of rotating cast. So, Jay, you're always here.
Well.
Pretty much. I'm always here.
Yeah.
You're mostly here.
Yeah.
Probably the second most.
Reliable.
What I would like is actually...
Does that make me the second most boring?
Why am I the most boring?
Because you literally don't do anything else.
Yeah, no, I just make time for this.
No. You have no other interests.
As the sort of...
Your interests are sitting on the sofa and playing video games.
Yeah.
Sitting on the sofa and watching wrestling.
Yep.
Or sitting on a chair in my house and doing a podcast.
Editing podcasts on the sofa. That's the other interest.
Yeah.
It's good. It's going to be a bit of a rotating cast. What I'd like to do is for diehard listeners of the podcast to go through and over the last 130 or whatever it is episodes that we've done, work out who the crew is for each episode and then just tally it all up. I want to know who's been on. I mean, I've obviously been on the most, but I want to know what the league table is for the rest. Mary, is this your second time on a main podcast?
No, I think it's my third, isn't
it? Is it? Because we did one when I was when I wasn't here, and now. So
that's weird. Yeah. That's a weird mark.
Yeah.
What?
Talking about, Mark, you pee, always, always here.
How many have I missed?
I don't know. The good ones?
No, definitely 50%
of mine.
Yeah.
That is true. That is true. It's literally 50%.
Well, right now it's 33, but, you know, let's not...
Yeah, okay. We haven't finished this one yet. This might not make it to air. We don't know what the quality level... Will this episode reach the very strict quality bar that we've set for ourselves?
Well, Joe Bratton's not here, so...
I think the bar is going to be smashed.
It will surpass all expectations.
Exactly. I think it's, you know, the intelligence level has gone through the roof.
Yeah.
So hopefully the quality level... People actually like him, though, so, you know...
I don't understand it, honestly.
I don't get it.
They obviously haven't met him.
Yeah, indeed. Indeed. Rotating crew for the next few weeks, but good to catch up with some old friends, new friends, people new to the podcast, and good to have you, Mary, on this week's podcast.
Thank you very much.
I know you've been very busy, heavily involved with the boss event that we talked about the last few weeks, and we won't talk about the event anymore, but do you want to just talk about what you've been up to in the last few weeks?
Yes. So I've started a new job, which took me abroad, which was very exciting, to Chicago. But I also got to interview Katie Tunstall last Saturday, which is my latest Tuesday talks, and we just chatted about guitars and why she has never been offered a signature guitar, yet is probably one of the most important female guitarists out there gigging right now.
So it was
quite a shock.
For those who haven't seen the Tuesday talks, and that includes me, I'm sorry, I've not had time to sit down and watch it yet. What was the, do you want to just give us the gist? Don't spoil it, because we want people to go and watch the episode, I guess, but what kind of things do you cover, and why has she not been offered a signature model?
She basically summarized it to say that it was a different time when she was starting out, like the relationship between artists and brands wasn't quite as intertwined as it is now. But then we glossed over her Gibsons. She has some really beautiful custom Doves, and she's just commissioned a new one. And then I was talking about how she, you know, plays some of the chords, and she uses her thumb on bass notes, she just said it was down to logistics of her hand and the size of it, and also like having bony knuckles and stuff like that. But that sort of inspired me to play with my thumb, so it was really interesting to talk to her about all that. And also, I've been a fan since I was about 15. So I was trying not to fangirl too much. I think I did okay.
I hate doing interviews like that. I hate when it's like someone you actually really like. Like, I'd much rather interview someone who I don't like than someone I really do like. It's way more comfortable.
Well, you did Ian Lee, and you behaved yourself.
We did Ian Lee, and that's kind of fine, because I've met him a couple of times. So I think But I think when we first met Ian Lee, again, he's not a guitar player, but he's not a guitarist, I would say. He plays guitar. The first time we met him, I was a little nervous.
It was very cute. It was very cute.
But yeah, the when we interviewed him for Guitar Nerds, it was fine. It was fine. But yeah, how did you cope with that?
Luckily, I was actually really, really jet lagged. And I know that sounds weird, but every time I'm tired, I can't sort of be as nervous, and it's actually quite a good thing to perform when you're absolutely shattered, because all your energy is just focusing on the actual performance. So I think having flown through the night, got back to London, had a shower at my friend's place, and then went straight to House of Vans, I didn't really have much time to think about it. And I think that's probably the trick. It sounds so strange, but and I met her. Well, I wandered into the backstage area to put all my camera stuff down, and she introduced herself to me. So she went, "Hey, are you Mary?" And I was like, "Yes, I am. You must be Katie." It was really cool. I was with Joe Branton as well. And
that's a shame.
He helped me cope with the nerves, and he sort of said that I'd be great and everything. So he was my moral support for the day.
Moral anything. He should not be anyone's moral anything. Let's get that straight now. That man he's a man with no morals. As long as he's not your moral compass, that's the main thing.
Definitely not.
So going back to the guitars and stuff. So my knowledge of Katie Tunstall, I have to admit, is quite limited, but I'm sure I've seen her play electrics as well. Telecasters, is that right? Or is it just acoustics, and I'm completely making that up?
No, she plays Gretch.
Okay.
So she's played a few different ones. She basically summarized it. She was like, I have loads of guitars, but basically it's all about how they look for her. Obviously, that she can trust that they play well when they're top end Gretches, and top end Gibsons, but well, sometimes. But yeah, she's had a fair share of sparkly guitars, which we all love. So yeah.
As it should be. If you're buying something expensive, it should be sparkly. That's the only way. Do you know what? Slight tangent. I saw today Jay Maskis from Dinosaur Jr., famed for his sparkly pink or pinky purpley sparkly jazz master, has just commissioned a new 69 Tele Thin Line, like one of the single coil ones, in exactly that same finish.
A signature model.
I don't think it's signature. It's like a custom shop for him to use, basically, and it looks absolutely incredible.
They are they're touring again soon. I missed them last time. I've never seen them. I'd really like to.
Let's get them on the show.
Maybe. Well, yeah.
We might. We actually know someone who knows them, so yeah. Maybe we could do that.
Yeah, they're touring with Cloud Nothings as well, and I really like that band.
Interesting. I think that would be a good get. We can get Jay.
He's great. He's
a good dude.
My favourite Jay Maskis thing is when he bought a car from a car dealership, and they put up a they asked him if they could get a photo for their social media.
Yes.
And it's just a photo of the car salesperson stood next to a really, really pissed off Jay Maskis. Just stood here thinking, listen, they said they'd give me some money off if I do this. It's fine.
I get the car cheap.
And he's just stood there just so mopey. It's fantastic.
I bet the car sales guy's in like a proper suit as well, like business suit.
Of course.
Jay Maskis basically just looks
wearing
like
a blue anorak.
Yeah, like a disheveled trucker, basically, yeah. So where did we get to? Pink's sparkly guitars with Katie Tunstall. So she was there doing a bit of a looping workshop, is that right?
No, not at all, actually, because she doesn't use a Boss looper.
That's what I was thinking, because I'd been told she's there to do looping, and actually, yeah, she doesn't use... She's famous for using the Akai Headrush, so yeah. It seemed a bit weird.
Yeah.
So what was she there talking about?
She was there talking about Boss pedal, because the rest of her pedal board is that way. So she was using... I don't know. I can't remember what they were, but she was just using purely Boss pedals. She just did a 2-song acoustic set, and it was mainly a Q&A with the interview from Boss with the guys at Boss. So yeah, it was really interesting. I think quite a lot of it was about actual songwriting and being a performer and how it is now, sort of 6 albums down the line. But it was really insightful, and I learned a lot. And then I got to interview her after that, so I sort of knew where to go. But she did, and she still does, play a White Falcon.
Nice.
So that was one of my reasons for picking it up in an Anderton's video, because I'd seen her play one.
I really don't think she gets the credit that she deserves, because... and I know we touched on this briefly last week, but I've been thinking about it a lot. That... performance that she did on
Jules Holland
just it really paved the way for an entire genre of singer-songwriters doing weird stuff with looping. Would Ed Sheeran be headlining Wembley Stadium if Katie Tunstall hadn't done
did you just make that up? Or did he do Wembley Stadium?
I think he did Wembley Stadium.
Okay. He's done. He did 3 sold out nights at Wembley Stadium.
Mark.
I knew that he was obviously a big act, but it seemed like you just plucked that out of the air.
I didn't.
Okay.
Actually, I said it with enough authority to that it would have gone off fine had you not questioned me.
Fine.
You know, it's very similar to the sort of thing that he's doing now.
Yeah.
And I don't think she gets the credit she deserves from that side of things. So I think that's really cool that she was there. And I think it's great that you got to interview her.
The performance. Yeah. Oh, sorry, Mary, go.
That's all right. I've been thinking about it too, because I only realised that the Akai Headrush wasn't actually a proper looper, was it? It's just a delay. No. It's just like 16 seconds. So for her to have done that and to do that performance with 2 days' notice, because which rapper? Nas dropped out really, really last minute.
Really?
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So he dropped out. She had 2 days notice. She just happened to be in London. I don't think she was even living in London at the time, or she was on tour or something. She wasn't really meant to be there. And so that set, which became absolutely iconic and, you know, is just ridiculous. And, you know, there are so many things that can go wrong. And there are other performances that she's done where it has gone slightly wrong, or like if the audience is clapping along, it sort of gets out of sync, or they get out of sync and stuff. There's a French program where she does it, and she just owns the stage and just says, guys, stop clapping. I have to get this right. And that was on live TV. So the fact that she just absolutely nailed it, and probably just got caught up in the whirlwind and didn't really realize, you know, obviously she realized what she was doing, but she just, yeah, true performer, and just got on with it and did it. It's yeah, really impressive. And also the only other thing that I learned on the day, which I've been a fan of her for so long that I thought I knew everything, was that she was actually 29 when she got signed. I thought she was 27. And so I'm 27 at the moment. So I was like, oh, it's really nice that I get to meet you now when I'm 27. You know, I was thinking all of this in my head, but she was 29. So I've got 2 more years before I have to do Jules Holland or anything like that.
I hate putting that
out in the world.
It's the worst thing when you've got like people who you're like, as long as I do roughly what he's done or she's done by the time I'm their age, it's fine. And then when you get to, you know, into your 30s, which I am, like people kind of stop doing like really cool stuff. It's like, actually, I don't really have any more to do.
It's when someone makes their England debut, and like when Ricky Lambert made his England debut, age like 29 or something. You're like, yeah, okay, yeah,
I can still play for England.
Still time.
I get it real bad at the moment with wrestling because like loads of people who start, and like the guy who won, again, this is going off on a tangent, but the guy that won the WWE UK Championship was 19. And it's like, by 19, I was still like living with my parents. I've been working for a couple of years. And actually, I had done a fair amount of stuff. Like, I'd started touring and doing things like that. But yeah, it's painful to think how much older I am than that.
I don't mean to... I don't mean to crush your spirit or anything, but are you the right frame to be a wrestler?
Oh yeah, 100%. I'm bigger than that guy.
Oh wow. Well.
Yeah. I'm absolutely
bigger on Twitter.
Oh yeah. No, he's definitely bigger on Twitter. Yeah,
sure. On podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Probably not. He's probably got his own podcast. You don't have to be a big fella to be a wrestler anymore.
Just a smart fella.
Talking about smart fellas, Jay Cross.
Yeah,
have you done any guitar stuff this week?
Kind of. I've had a very busy week this week.
You've been all over the place.
I have, yeah. It's so a little bit of insider trading info for the listeners out there. Today's Friday.
It is.
Normally we record on Mondays, but I'm going on holiday.
Everyone's
tomorrow.
Leaving me, basically. Going back to that thing of like, I'm always available because I'm quite boring.
Yeah, I'm going on holiday tomorrow. Joe Branton is going away on Sunday, and Matt Knight went away yesterday. So we've had to record a day early. So it's only been...
A few days early.
So it's only been 4 days since we were last sat here doing this again. And in that time, I have... I went to Nantes in France.
Yeah.
For a couple of days, and was in business meetings all day, which is why I sound a little bit hoarse now, because you know, all I do in my job is talk.
That's why
I was employed.
People have got headphones in, trying them out, and still have
yelling.
To keep talking at them.
So yeah, I went to Nantes. Beautiful.
Never been.
Really beautiful city. Small enough to walk around. There's some really old stuff, which is nice to look at.
Really old
stuff. Yeah, like, you know, buildings and squares. Okay. And stuff like that, and fountains.
One extra square there this week.
Yes, that was me. I see what you did there. Not great for vegans, I will say.
Okay.
It was hard work, but it's fine.
Without wishing to generalize, I hear that about France quite a lot.
Yeah, but it was fine. It was I just ate loads of vegetables, and I like vegetables, so it was fine.
Yeah, vegetables are great.
But yeah, so not really. It's a short answer in terms of playing much guitar stuff. I was back in the office today, and there's some cool stuff that, you know, I can't talk about, but there's some
teasers.
I know there's some cool stuff in the office that I got to do today, but But yeah, other than that, not really. And actually, probably not even next week.
You're just always away, basically.
Yeah, it's very busy at the moment.
Just leaving me to hold the fort. I have actually been playing some guitar stuff.
What have you been doing?
I moved a guitar into the living room.
Which one?
And the pink sparkly Squire, one that is mod mode.
Oh, what's going on with mod mode?
Stop asking about bloody mod mode. It will happen, all right? Mod mode will happen next year, early next year, when we're back from NAMM. Mod mode is penciled in. I've already worked out how we're going to film it. I'm sorry we haven't done mod mode yet.
Okay.
Anyway, so that's in the living room now. And I've been doing some YouTube tutorials. I want to play guitar better, basically. And
oh, you've been watching them?
Yes, doing them. Yeah, I've been playing along some YouTube guitar tutorials. Because, you know, we host this podcast every week. And while I like to think I'm an okay bass player and I've got some, you know, live mileage under my belt, my guitar playing is not fantastic. I can play a tune, but I would like to be better at guitar. And as we're doing more and more stuff, and, you know, Matty's not always around who does the guitar videos, I'd quite like to be able to step in and do some guitar videos. And at the moment, you know, we've got a couple of videos up on the channel that are okay. I feel my playing is okay and shows the stuff off adequately. I'd like to actually be able to play guitar. So I've sat down and I'm just looking for good YouTube tutorials, basically. I'm also going to sign up to Guitar Tricks.
I was going to say.
Yeah, we've got the hook up there, guitarnerds.net/guitar tricks. They do a 14-day free trial. So I'm going to sign up for that, see how I get on, and I'll probably report back in the podcast in a couple of weeks.
That is a really, really great advert.
That was not an advert. Although I did change the Facebook banner today to a Guitar Tricks advertisement. The reason that I did that is because I've been on Guitar Tricks thinking about signing up for it. So that is my plan. What I'm saying is I'm going to learn how to play guitar. After hosting guitar podcasts for 4 years, I'm finally going to learn how to play guitar.
Okay.
Better than I do now. I can play guitar okay now.
Yeah. So. Well, I know two chords, so if you wouldn't mind, if you learn a third...
I'll learn the rest. Yeah. Then we could finally play Ramon songs. Yeah, all good.
Talking of getting better at the guitar,
yeah,
I have had many moments this year where I've been caught out a little bit on my lack of knowledge in terms of and skill in playing. So I've been doing... I actually paid for... the Music is Win Tyler Larson courses on Udemy, and I've learned things that I definitely should have known 10 years ago,
right?
And I didn't, so I, you know, not a sponsored ad, I've been benefiting from them, so I'm sure other people have downloaded his lessons. They seem to be very successful and have really good ratings, but thoroughly recommend those too.
Yeah, if you're listening to this and you've got recommendations, do put it in the Facebook group, because I am kind of looking around for the best option. I want to try Guitar Tricks. You know, we've been talking about it and kind of advertising it, and I've looked at what it does, but I'd like to actually get in the program and see if it can make me any better. But yeah, I'm open to like free or suggestions of free YouTubers as well, because I don't want to pay for anything. I'm cheap. We don't make any money doing this.
No.
And I don't have any money, so I want it free. Mary, one last thing. Talking about guitars and YouTube, the reason that Joe Branton is not going to be around for the next, I guess it's probably not the next podcast either, is that you guys are going to do GitCon, which is, what is it, like a YouTube guitar seminar thing. Do you want to talk about it a bit?
Yes. Well, it's being put on by Warwick and Framus, and has been organized by the YouTuber Henning Pauly. And yeah, there are just some really, really incredible guitar YouTubers going. Joe and I will definitely be the
and
small
you and Joe
on the and then me and Joe. Yes. yeah, Joe sent me all the list of names going through the other day and put me right at the bottom, which was really nice of him. Oh, including all my stats as well.
He's a great dude.
Yeah, he's a great guy. Yeah, I think it should be fun. We sort of know what we're doing. I think there are a few surprises that we'll be able to talk about post GitCon. But yeah, there'll be a lot of sort of live streams while we're there. So people will be able to follow along on the journey of us being in Germany. And yeah, I think we'll get maybe a tour as well around the factory. And I just hope that we'll just get some time to make some good content and also just play some really nice guitars and just keep it. I'm not entirely sure what to expect. There have been a few sort of behind the scenes videos up showing the studios and stuff, which look really high tech and great. So maybe our videos will improve a lot just for the week and then they'll go back to normal standard. But yeah, it should be really fun. I think there are a lot of great people going and I'm really excited to just get filming and play some guitar and learn a lot as well, because there are some extraordinary players going. So, yeah.
Nice. It's zero waste, I think, the factory.
It is.
If I remember correctly.
Yeah, we were talking the fella whose name I forget from Funeral for a Friend. This was actually a GAC video. We did a GAC video. Funeral for a Friend played that metal festival at Brighton Racecourse.
Oh, yeah.
They're the Welsh ones, aren't they? Yeah. And I forget the fella's name, which is really bad. But the bass player was saying that one of the reasons that he he's played Warwick for a long time, but one of the reasons when he was choosing a new bass to get a Warwick one is because the factory is like, I don't know if it's self-sustaining, but it's zero waste.
So basically, I think it was self-sustaining.
So basically, when they're carving bodies and stuff, all of that, like, waste that goes on the floor of the factory, they've installed like giant hoovers in the ceiling, basically giant vacuums that sucks up all of that, and all that material gets repurposed in some way. Now I can't remember whether it's to then in
I think
some
it
way,
was to heat the factory or like to that. Power to the machines,
yeah,
and stuff
something
like that.
Like that.
Yeah.
So I'm sure you'll get plenty of that. One thing Joe was a little worried about, just thinking about the type of content that we're going to be doing, Joe was a little worried because obviously he's a bass player rather than a guitarist. And it has been pointed out that this is absolutely not a bass event, because they also do a bass event. And I just told him, look, just get your face onto as many of those live streams as possible without a guitar in your hands. Just talk to as many people as possible. So you might be seeing quite a lot of Joe Branton on the live streams and on our videos as well.
He did a wedding playing guitar.
He can play a bit of guitar.
He could go on the videos and play The Killers.
Yep.
Or... I don't know, Wake Me Up When September Ends, is that a wedding song?
Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go, he can play that on guitar.
Yeah. He can play, favorite. He learnt a great version of the Grease medley.
We were talking earlier before you arrived about how Grease 2 is the greatest musical ever.
I've not seen it.
But that's for another podcast, I think.
Okay.
God.
It's the greatest. Top three, Cannibal the Musical, Grease 2 and Bugsy Malone, but not in that order. Grease 2, number one. Best ever.
Okay.
Shall we dive headfirst?
You do it.
Into a whole barrel of Mary Can Do It.
Mary Can Do It.
The news. Is that right?
Yeah. He doesn't normally say the, but that was a good attempt. Good. Next time.
I quite like the news.
Unless you can salvage it by when we come to questions, you have to say the questions.
Yeah, absolutely.
The questions.
Indeed.
Right, okay.
So
I'll start rehearsing.
First up, brand new pedal from Electroharmonix.
That nobody saw coming.
That no one really needs.
That's not true.
I'm sure someone will find a use for this expansion of a fairly obscure pedal. Electroharmonix have announced the Super Ego Plus. Jay, do you want to give us the lowdown?
Yeah, so it's finally fully announced after there appeared to have been some sort of leak about this pedal maybe 6 weeks ago, 2 months ago.
Why would Electroharmonix even care? Like,
I know
that like bigger and more... versions of their pedals with more features on are coming all the time.
And yeah, so they don't wait till NAMM. They don't appear to care.
They basically don't do... I mean, they do loads of marketing. They do videos and stuff, but it's not like... They've got so much stuff coming out that it's not like, oh, you guys wait, because on September the 28th, we're going to be launching this incredible new pedal. You've never heard about it before. Build the hype. They're just like, oh, yeah, we just popped another one out. It's a Super Ego. Here's a great demo video.
Yeah. So it's really cool. This one has got built-in effects, so you don't just have to use the effects loop of the old one. So you've got detune, delay, echo, flange, phase, modulation, a rotary speaker, which I think will be really interesting with the Super Ego. Two different types of trim, a pitch shifter, and also a filter, a low pass filter. So yeah, loads of stuff on there. It looks really cool. The video sounds very cool.
I guess for people who don't know what the Super Ego was, we should probably say what it is.
Yeah, it was very weird. It was kind of like a...
It's synthy, I guess.
Yeah, it's synthy, and it worked in a sort of freeze-type mode. It was very, very... It came out of nowhere, and it was a very strange pedal.
I seem to remember the only sound that I could get from it was, if you're into, like, David Lynch soundtracks, like, low dread, a bit of, like, a sort of low dread tone.
Okay.
That's really what I was enjoying out of the Super Ego. But I've heard people actually use it almost like organ-type sounds. And...
Yeah, it just seemed to be a stripped-back version of a bunch of pedals that they already did, which is classic electroharmonics. So you had the freeze functionality of the... Freeze.
Yeah.
And you had the synth functionalities of the synth pedals that they do. And it had some sort of looping capabilities. But previously you had to stick other pedals in the loop in order to get it to do stuff. Whereas now you do not. They're all there. I think it still has an effects loop, which is nice.
It seems a bit like when they went from the Deluxe Memory Man to the Stereo Memory Man with Hazareye.
Yeah.
Which was the delay where basically they included like a basic multi-effects in there as well. That seems to be what they've done with this. Almost like, you know, an old school synth where you'd get the synth section plus effects as well. That seems to be kind of what they're going for. I think it's cool.
Yeah, very, very cool, very weird. Extremely electro harmonics.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Yeah, the most electro-harmonics.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I don't know if you saw, but the promo picture for it was the pedal in front of a load of Freud books.
Nice. Very good. Very good. Mary, do you want to tell us about a brand new guitar from G&L, which I think is called the Doheny, although I may be pronouncing that wrong.
I was thinking the Doheny, but I don't know because I've only read it. But yes, a supposedly modern day take on the Jazzmaster by obviously Fender. Because G&L was obviously founded by Leo Fender himself. It does look absolutely stunning. They have made a few supposedly improvements on the pickups. So they've developed a magnetic field design. Again, it was another technology actually created by Leo. So it's all very close to the bone, I think. But yeah, it does look beautiful. They've also got a completely different tremolo system, and there's only one tone control. But yeah, I think maybe purists will not like them, but I think they look pretty stunning.
I think
same scale length and all that stuff.
I think for me, the key thing is that it doesn't have the Jazzmaster trend, which for me is kind of one of the reasons that I don't particularly like Jazzmasters. I understand why people do like them, and like you say, purists, I think, will turn their nose up at this. But they've got like a Strat-style trem, is that right?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, it looks...
And just... Sorry, you go ahead.
No, go ahead. No, I was going to say, it looks like the trem on just the regular G&L Strats.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm surprised it's taken them so long
to do something like this.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Mary, do we know price or anything?
It's TBC.
Okay, interesting, interesting. My favourite price. Makes it easy.
Yeah.
What I like about it is that it makes it easy for us to judge whether this is going to be good or not, because this could be £5,000, but it could also be £300. Knowing G&L, I mean, do we know roughly what prices their US stuff starts at? Because I know the tribute stuff is around £400-ish. The ASAT tributes, I think, it was the telly version, which is about £400. Have we got a range of colours, Mary?
Yes, there is a sort of surf green with white pickguard, a black with a sort of tortoiseshell pickguard, and then a sunburst, again with tortoiseshell, and sort of a mixture of either white or black pickups. And then I guess ebony. It says rosewood fretboards, but I have a feeling that that might have to change, surely.
No, I mean, the thing with CITES is that it's just getting more difficult to move the rosewood from country to country. It's not right. Banning rosewood. The reason that some of the larger companies have cut back on the amount of rosewood that's going into their guitars is just
paperwork, basically.
It's paperwork and logistics and
getting things there on time and stuff.
Yeah, completely. So it won't be the end of seeing rosewood. I mean, think about the Fender George Harrison that just came out.
Yeah, that's all rosewood.
Yeah,
yeah, that's true.
But it's only one guitar in one finish. So
completely.
Doing the paperwork, I'd imagine, is not too much of a hassle.
I'm looking forward to the Mexican version of that. That's the Palfero rosewood.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The George Harrison Palfero, just like on the rooftops of Abbey Road in 1969, the Palfero Telecaster. No. So these look super cool. I think color-wise, color also dictates which neck you go for.
Yeah, that was what I saw. Yeah.
So what I like is the black one, I think, is tortoiseshell pickguard.
Yeah, with maple board.
Maple board, but with black block inlays, like a proper old-school-looking Jazzmaster. I'm into it in a big way. I need to get my hands on some G&L. I've never really played it. I played a couple of the basses. But, you know, I hear very good things about the Tribute Tellies, the ASAT Tribute, and they are like 449, something like that. So I want to see how they kind of compete with a Mexican standard.
If only we knew someone who worked at somewhere where they sold them.
Are you talking about Mary?
I'm talking about Mary.
Okay, yeah, they sell them at Anderton's, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool. Mary, next time you're at Anderton's, can you just try one and tell me if it's any good?
All right, done.
Okay. Good. So let's move on. Jay, do you want to, talking about good guitars and talking about rosewood in particular, do you want to tell us about the brand new Shergold SM04 SD Masquerader?
Yeah, so Shergold, who you have been particularly impressed with recently.
Those guitars
after going and playing them.
Blimmin' brilliant.
Yeah. So maybe a contender for a GOTY.
Well, I was thinking, actually, I think officially they launched last year, but...
This one probably didn't.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So this week, basically, they've launched a guitar that definitely 100% qualifies. I just need to try one.
Yeah, completely. So one thing that I will say about Shergold, not so hot on the old naming of their guitars. So this is the SM04.
Yep.
Which follows on from the SM0, 1, 2, and 3.
That makes sense.
All of which just having different pickup configurations. Yeah. Yeah, I know, but it's nice when things have got names like Firecracker.
I'm glad they don't put you in charge of naming things.
Torpedo dance.
Okay, yeah, nice. I love the old Gibson torpedo dance. Yeah. That's my favourite one.
Yeah, absolutely. I just think that, you know, names are cool, aren't they?
Well, so the Masquerader is basically the body shape. So that was a name from the original Shergold guitars. They did the Masquerader back in the day.
But what we've got here, so just as a rundown with the range, in case people don't know. So the SM01 is a humbucker P90 configuration. The 2 is HSS. The 3 is SSS. And then the 4 is, of course...
Two humbuckers,
quite correct. And yeah, the other differences that you've got with this is it's, as opposed to the other ones, it's mahogany neck.
Oh, is it?
With ebony board.
Ah, interesting.
Yeah, very interesting. So I think we'll get quite a different tonality and dynamic out of it. With, you know, with humbuckers and a mahogany neck, I think this is going to sound substantially darker.
I wonder if they're moving away from mahogany, and does that mean that I should buy one of the...
No, it's mahogany.
Sorry, moving away from rosewood. Does that mean I should buy one of the original ones?
Well, maybe, but ebony is... if you look at...
The board I'm not worried about. I like ebony boards because I like that extra snap. Yeah. But what I'm concerned about is that I really like the rosewood necks on the 1-2s and 3s.
I would say it's probably worth holding fire and checking out a mahogany neck.
Maybe I will. Okay, so that's interesting. I was wondering if there was anything else that they had changed.
Yeah, those are the main differences. And still not too much money, $799, which I think is pretty reasonable.
Yeah.
Do you disagree?
No, not at all. Oh, no, okay. The other one, I was just thinking about what the price of the other ones.
Right.
Because they're all about that sort of money.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think actually at the moment, GAC have got one at like $699.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Seymour Duncan pickups, a 59 in the neck and a TB4 in the bridge. What's a TB4?
Trembucker.
Oh, yeah. Trembucker, of course.
I wonder why that is. Maybe the bridge is wider spacing. Interesting. Need to check that out, definitely. So moving from the Sublime Shergold to something a little ridiculous. Mary, do you want to tell us about the Devil and Sons Skull and Crossbones?
It is hilarious looking. I have no idea how it plays. It is a skull and crossbones for the body. And the only thing I have... with the shape of it, other than it being a skull and crossbones, is that it kind of looks like it's upside down when you're playing it, because obviously the body is like the eyes are facing up the neck rather than sort of looking down.
I mean, the whole thing's just ridiculous.
Okay, I'm glad you said that. But yeah, it's got its inlays on the fretboard are skull and bones. The headstock is a really strange shape as well. It's very sort of
bony. Is it an ankle?
I don't know. I don't think so.
That would be fantastic. Just a really oversized foot as for the headstock.
It's definitely not an ankle. It's just. Yeah, just it's like it's had a bite taken out of it. But yeah, it comes in three different. So there's a bass, so it's like a P bass, you know, P bass pickups, and then there's a single coil hot rod, and then a humbucker version. And I think the eyes light up as LEDs. There's not
no,
too
they
much.
Don't do they?
Yeah, the eyes
goodness
light up.
Me.
It's that I think you have to contact them for more information on that, because they are custom built, and so you can specify different things. But yeah, it's absolutely hilarious. I have no idea who would have the balls to actually wander up to a gig playing that, but I'm sure there are some genres of music that would love it, and obviously do love it for it to be made.
What so, the back yes of the. I'm just on the website at the moment, and there's a picture. I mean, there's so much going on. There's so much to unpack here.
It's worth saying, just quickly, just to describe the body, when you say a skull and crossbones, Mary, it's not like a flat, you know, it's not like someone took a flat bit of wood and carved it into a skull and crossbones. It's actually sculpted like the back of a skull on the back, and sculpted like the front of a skull on the front.
If you look at, there's a picture on the website of a, first of all, a five-string left-handed... P bass?
Sweet.
Well, I think it's a 5-string left-handed bass, and the back of it is so ugly.
Yeah, it's not nice.
It's really...
It's like the back of a skull,
It
basically.
Looks like the back of a... Yeah, I mean, and the bones sticking through it look really, like, pretty realistic.
Yeah, it's terrifying looking. The only thing that it does actually remind me of, and I don't know why I'm thinking of this, because I know that the guitar I'm thinking of is extremely beautiful and one of the best basses to ever be built. But it reminds me of Joe Branton's
The Stonefield. Has the Stonefield's definitely got kind of rustic charm to it. You know, it's got that good, and this kind of, I mean, this, hang on. Before we go down that route, Jay has just zoomed in on one of the pictures, and not only is the whole body of the guitar a skull, but the knobs are also mini skulls.
That also appear to light up, the eyes appear to light up.
Yeah, I don't know whether they light up or whether they're just, whether they're just red. Like red, but yeah, so what I don't get is, so let's just assume.
Oh, but then there's also
a regular knob.
What's going on?
This is very, very bizarre. Yeah, it's all quite weird. And I reckon go and check it out. What's the website?
Devil and Sons dot guitars.
Yeah.
Classic.
Good website.
Classic website address.
Is it an EMG? I don't think
there
is an EMG.
What I find funny, and again, this kind of comes back to, maybe this is just me being odd, but so they've done a humbucker version and a single coil version, but in the single coil version, they've actually just put a Hot Rails humbucker in the bridge. So what is the point of offering the two things?
Also, I hadn't realised, but they are three different skulls.
Oh, I assume when you order one, it's a custom
skull.
Yeah.
Right, wow.
Yeah, everyone is unique, I would imagine.
Do you think the price of this is, it has to be your skull?
Yeah,
this is a really, a really avant-garde way to have your body... dealt with at the end. You know, some people like have their ashes scattered in a plant that will grow. Some people like to be buried, and some people like to have their head turned into a base for future generations to rock and roll with at the Leek and Winkle pub at the bottom of the street.
I don't want that. Just, if it comes to that, just chuck me in the sea. I don't want this at all. Anyway, with that, we should dive headfirst into...
I can't remember what it's called. What's it called?
Just say the questions.
The questions.
I sort of feel there wasn't enough vim and vigour with that.
Sorry,
one, Mary.
I can do it again.
Do it again.
The questions.
See, this is the problem. When Joe's not here, is someone else has to fill in for that thing. And that's the thing that he does better than I think anybody else. I'm sure everybody's got one thing they do better than anybody else.
Can we just say it is his only talent?
Completely.
Yeah, 100%.
Saying things in a quirky voice.
Yeah, I think so, definitely. Well, you know, we've got some guest hosts over the next few weeks. So let's see. Can you out Branton the Branton? I'll be interested to know. Let's do some questions. John says, hey guys, listening to the podcast this morning. In fact, this isn't a question, but this is almost a correction from last week.
Okay.
John says, hey guys, listening to the podcast this morning, talking about the new Dan Electro stuff. Just to let you know, I've held the Pride of Texas, which is the we think is the Tube Screamer clone, and they are metal, not plastic. They actually sound really good and unique. So basically, I just wanted to clear that up, because I think last week we said that they were made out of that like Bakelite plastic.
I think that's what we were assuming.
But actually, they just look like that. Apparently, they're full metal chassis, which is good to know, because obviously the problem or the criticism that's been levelled at Dan Electro in the past is, despite making great sounding pedals, they've pretty much always, particularly on the cheaper end of things, used quite flimsy plastic. So this is good to know.
I mean, that's absolutely the when we were.
They weren't a lot of money, were they?
No, they weren't a lot of money.
Like £70.
I tell you what, I have seen few things divide opinion on the internet as much as I have the battery case.
Yeah,
that people have been talking about this week. Some people think that it's the absolute dog's dinner, and some people think that it's the not.
It's one of those things that I think fills a very specific role, and if you don't need it, then it seems really stupid. But probably some people are like, yeah, this is what I've needed the whole time.
Completely.
So, you know, I have a centralized place to store the 9-volt batteries that I can then get the better tone out of, if you believe that that is true. I'm not... maybe I do believe it's true. I don't know. I haven't thought about it enough. Let's move on. Mark says, I'm looking at Gibson Firebirds and Firebird V and Explorer. They're around £1,500. Based off those guitars, what else would you guys suggest tone and looks-wise? Mary, have you got any thoughts?
Anything but a Gibson? No, rude. Rude.
Oh,
sorry.
It's rude.
£1,500. I don't know, because I guess if they're looking at Gibsons, they are probably a slight traditionalist. But I would look at something a bit more boutique, maybe a smaller brand. But again, I just don't know those guitars well enough to be able to recommend an alternative. So you boys might have to take over.
It's really tough, because what I do think about the things like the Firebird, Explorer and the Flight V is that they do straddle that kind of line so well. You know, it's a traditional guitar brand. Those guitars were designed in the late 50s and early 60s, but they are still really good for that kind of pointy metal stuff. You know, you can still use it, you know, still rock out with an Explorer, still use a Flying V for the same thing. And the Firebird...
But it doesn't look out of place. Someone who isn't in a punk band or a blues band.
Maybe the V is probably to the extreme, but I would say if I went to see a punk band who were using like Explorers, I wouldn't think too much of it. I'd think like, okay, they're doing something a bit quirky, particularly these days because every punk band plays Telecasters.
Yeah.
I would think like, okay, they're doing something cool, but I wouldn't think like, oh, hey, he's in the middle of a, you know, let's say it was like one of the shows that you put on, which is kind of the more indie pop end of punk, and they're using like a, you know, a Jackson, you know, ridiculous pointy thing. Someone could still be playing an Explorer and I'd be like, oh yeah, right on, that's cool, that works, because it's got that 50s and 60s connection. It's still a traditional guitar, so it is really difficult to suggest something that does the same job,
especially for that money.
Yeah,
in fact, I don't even know if you can get Gibsons for that money at the moment, can you? The 2000, the new line,
the 2018s, I think, come in around that kind of price. Yeah.
I tell you what I'm really into, and I mean this is absolutely nowhere near the price range, so I do apologize for going completely off topic, but the Cowr Guitars Banshee.
Yeah,
I don't know if you saw that. It's essentially a Firebird, but they apparently Doug Cowr worked with Gibson to get permission to make it far enough away from an actual Firebird in order to produce it. But I've heard nothing but good things about Cowr and about the Banshee in particular. I really think it's worth a look. They are all built in the US by Doug Cowr, I believe. So we are talking $3,500. So it is a lot of money. But I do think that you struggle to, if what you want is a guitar that looks like that without going super metal, like a Jackson, Randy Rhodes, or I don't know, something like that.
Yeah.
Or a Schecter Sinister Gates, which again has got that kind of offset look, but is very much a metal guitar.
I think even like Randy Rhodes, you could almost pull it off. Like one of the white ones with pinstripe, like what used to be called the RR5, I don't know what it's called these days. But the headstock is still too pointy. The body itself is not that far from a V, you know. But then you start getting to pointy headstock.
I tell you what would be a good choice that isn't quite, it sort of straddles that line a little bit better, I think, is the Ibanez Iceman.
Yep, definitely.
Or the Gilbert Fireman.
Yeah, is there anything up at that price point, though? Mind you, the Fireman's probably not that far off.
Don't think so, yeah.
And they're a really good guitar.
They're really fantastic guitars. And I love that the Fireman is just an upturned Iceman.
Yeah.
I just think that's really, really funny and really cool.
They're also, so it was, when that came out, I was kind of like, this guitar is super cool. And I, out of all the shredders, we've talked about this many times, but I really like Paul Gilbert.
Yeah.
I think he realizes that what he is able to do is kind of inherently ridiculous.
Yeah.
So he kind of laughs at himself, but also he's a great songwriter. So I kind of, you know, I was really interested in this guitar. So I watched a couple of videos, and one of the key things about the guitar is that it's single coils.
Yeah. Which is different to what Mark's looking for.
Totally. But he kind of, I guess he kind of justified it by saying, look, the extra benefit that you get from the snappy top end from these, you know, they're single coils that they've designed. I think they're Demarcios. They're either like noise cancelling or there's some noise reduction thing going on. And they're also quite beefy sounding single coils. He said that the benefit that you get from having the snappy top end is completely worth stepping away from a humbucker.
Right.
So for metal people who wouldn't necessarily look for something with single coils, like the Fireman FRM1, right?
FRM100, I think.
Okay.
It is.
Is a really good option. I can't remember how much they are.
I also can't remember how much they are. I think they're about a grand.
Yeah, something like that.
I think it might be less than a grand.
They're a really cool guitar. And as with everything Ibanez, you know, it's the quality's really good. There's no trem on there as well. So if you've been looking at Explorers and Flying Vs, I think it's just got a tunematic bridge on there. So, yeah, that would be a cool option, definitely. Yeah. I'd completely forgotten about that guitar and how good it actually
is. Yeah, they're great. They're great. I really love the shape as well, the Iceman shape. I think that they come in some really interesting sort of specs. If I remember correctly, anything from I think the model number is ICE.
Yeah.
And if I remember correctly, anything above the 7 is through neck.
Yeah.
Which just, you know, you're opening up a whole world of resonance there from just a big old chunk of wood.
Get an Iceman. Thinking about it now, I think one of those Ibanez guitars, like either the Paul Gilbert or, you know, standard Iceman.
Or, I mean, go big, go for the Paul Stanley.
Yes,
the
shattered glass top or shattered mirror top. I just think
it's a really underused shape. Maybe it's because it's become so ubiquitous with Paul Stanley and Paul Gilbert.
For a while, and though, do you remember when Serge Tankian was using
it? No, it wasn't Serge Tankian. Oh, no, it was Darren Malakian.
That's it, yeah, from System of a Down.
And they kind of
became a really cool guitar again.
Completely. I remember being 14 and first watching the video for Chop Suey and thinking, what is that guitar?
Yeah, yeah.
Also, look at his beard. I've got to do that.
Oh, God.
But here we are 17 years later and I still can't grow any beard, let alone that beard.
Yeah, that's a great beard. Far beyond your capability. Let's do one more question. Harry says, anyone ever tried using an electric through an acoustic amp? I really fancy the Marshall acoustic amp, but I'm just wondering how it would hold running a Fender Jag and an obnoxious amount of effects. Barely any info online about it. Now, Mary, this seems like something that you might have done. Obviously, you do kind of like a fair bit of gigging and stuff where, you know, there might not be kind of room for an amp or, you know, you might be doing a little session or something. Is it something that you've ever done?
I have run an electric through an acoustic amp. I'm trying to remember which model, but I haven't run that many effects through it, and I would be careful about that. What do you think in terms of, like, if he's saying obnoxious amount of effects, that kind of scares me. But
I actually don't think that the effects are going to be the issue.
No.
I would say that just reading that sent me wincing, because I think especially a Jaguar
top end
going into a speaker that's designed to have a far more flat response, or is at least expecting something that's going to be is going to need to compensate for the fact that you'll be getting primarily deeper, rounder sound from it. I think that's going to sound just ear piercing.
So the way to do it is to use some sort of modelling, because essentially all an acoustic amp is really like a flat response speaker.
Yeah.
So like a PA speaker. And in fact, that's the reason why a lot of acoustic amps are able to have a microphone on there as well. So I remember actually a similar situation back when I was working in the guitar shop, where a customer wanted basically like they didn't want a PA. And they wanted a solution where they could plug in an electric, an acoustic, and vocals because they had someone singing, someone with an acoustic with a loop pedal, and then someone playing like lead guitar over the top with some effects, and just kind of adding textures and stuff like that. And actually, I can't remember whether it's the basic Marshall, the AS50, but definitely the AS100, which is the 100-watt, slightly bigger acoustic amp that they've made for forever, has got enough channels to do that. So, they, in fact, I think they were maybe even running backing tracks as well. So an acoustic amp essentially is like a little PA in one box. Go on, have you got another solution?
I've got a great solution.
If you're going to say Fender PA...
This is fantastic because I very rarely get to my wares.
No shilling.
Fender Passport.
No.
Fender Passport... And it's great being able to talk about this with Nomad Knight to rebut me here. The Passport range is fantastic.
Still the same problem, though, in that you can't just plug a guitar into effects into the...
Yes,
the
you can. There is a dedicated guitar input on each model.
Has it got any amp modelling or anything in there?
Yeah, I think so.
You absolutely have no idea about that, do you?
I'm pretty sure. I mean, certainly the Passport Mini does.
Again, you don't seem particularly confident.
No, absolutely. Passport Mini is great.
Okay, well, so that's
perfect. That's a perfect little busking amp.
Okay, so that is an option. But still, I would say that, you know, if he's looking at the Marshall, then you need some modelling. Maybe it might even be worth it. You know, I can't speak to the quality of the modelling on the Passport, but generally, you know, these like inbuilt modelling for something that's not designed for it,
yeah,
you might be better off getting an external modeller. So,
or just use a preamp.
Well, again,
if what you want is something that's going to be good for...
But it's not going to do the speaker. The problem is the speaker. So effectively...
Sure.
Let's say he's even got... let's say Harry's even got like... You know, like a couple of preamp pedals. Like, let's say he's got, I don't know, some Wampler stuff, you know, amp in a box style stuff. You still will need something to do the speakers, the speaker modelling. So, something like the Two Notes Torpedo Cab would do the job.
It's an expensive way of going about it, though.
It is. But
when you get to that point, you might as well just also buy, if you need an acoustic amp, if what you're doing this for is you need to be able to go acoustic, you need an acoustic amp and an electric amp. Just buy an acoustic amp and an electric amp at that point.
Yeah. So a few options there. I think, Harry, write in again and just let us know why you want to use an acoustic amp. If it is that you want to plug multiple things in, then it is probably the only way to do it, unless you go for a little PA. Probably, you know, Easy now. Okay. With that, we should do one last question, actually. This one comes from PJ, who says, I've heard on the podcast several times, what exactly constitutes a geezer? I'm concerned I may be a geezer. Mary, do you want to tackle this one?
Not at all. I think this one's for Jay.
What about resident geezer Jay Cross? What were we saying?
I do talk about geezer. Everything's fine. That's no problem.
What makes, in your eyes, what makes someone a geezer?
Literally any person is a geezer. And I saw this come up in the group, and I decided to let it run. I like the air of mystery. But someone in the US said, I did like how much sort of critical analysis went into it. But someone said, I think it's just a British version of saying dude.
Yeah,
which I think is a fairly.
It's not even universally British. I wouldn't even say it's like universally Southern. I would say it's like probably just you still clinging onto it a lot of the time.
Yeah, you know, just some geezer.
Yeah.
Some geezer came into the shop the other day. Oh, God, great player.
I mean, I've even seen and heard you call ladies geezers before, so...
It's not... I mean...
It is literally dude, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't think it's a gendered term.
Not at all. It's a badge of honour. Absolutely. I've been called a geezer by you.
Geezer?
Yeah, all right.
That's it. Maybe that's what we should do, a top geezer award in the Gear of the Year.
Who's going to win that?
Oh, I mean, me every time.
Oh, okay, yeah, top geezer.
With that, I think we should close this out. Thanks very much for listening this week. We're going to go and do another 30 minutes of podcast, exclusively questions for the internet's Mary Spender. Lots of questions from the Facebook group, ranging from everything, talking about your travels and your guitar equipment. You happy to do that?
Of course.
If you want to hear that, patreon.com/guitar nerds, where from as little as $1 a month, you can support the Guitar Nerds podcast. $1 a month gets you the regular episode ad-free and early. At the $5 tier, you get the extra half an hour of Guitar Nerds content every week, plus access to the entire back catalogue, of which there are like 125 regular half an hour extras, plus loads of interviews that we've done with people from the guitar world, plus the entire series of Branton's Rant On, where the rabid Joe Branton discusses things that he doesn't like in the guitar industry. And then at the $10 top tier, you get your name read out on the regular podcast like this. Mary, do you want to do the names?
Absolutely. I'm going to start from the bottom as well, because I didn't do them justice last time.
Colin Anderson being read out first. I don't know if that's ever happened before.
No, this is literally the first time.
I tell you what.
Poor Colin.
It's good having some...
bit of fresh blood.
Completely.
Not the other two tired ones that we...
I tell you what would be absolutely fantastic is over the next few weeks...
Just phase out Joe.
Well, no. Phase out everyone.
Yeah.
If we just get in... guests every week, and then we do a podcast where
we're not even on it.
It's not us.
We can have a week off. Be fantastic. Okay, so we should do a backing track. What are we going for?
There's definitely going to be a delay, isn't there?
Okay, let's do
what
it.
In the backing track? You want us to put delay on the backing track?
That'd
no,
be wild.
There'll be.
she never stops thinking about
right.
effects.
I know. Yeah. Right.
Know,
I'm doing it.
I know. Colin Anderson, Moo Gravett, Laurie Ansville, Tom Tidmack, Quinn Scott O'Brien, Will Clare, Jack Godfall, Morgan Bradley, Andrew McKenzie, Jay Shaw, Mark Cousin, Mark Horseman, Ryan Thompson, Steve Perkle, Andrew Joyce, Chris Connor, Derek Rich.
I didn't really know when you were going to end, because I'm so used to hearing Colin Anderson last. I was like, oh no, where are we? How much longer have we got to do this for? There we go. If you want to join in the fun, you can go to facebook.com/groups/guitar nerds forum, where you can submit questions to the podcast. We're all on there. You can chat to us. Any questions you've got or suggestions for the podcast, we will always listen to them. Best off, ignore Joe Branton.
Exactly.
You can also follow us on Twitter @guitar nerds, on Instagram @guitar nerds, and you can go to youtube.com/guitar nerds for all of the videos that we're putting up. There'll be coverage from GitCon, there's more top 10 lists, and there's new episodes of the Guitar Nerd Show going up once every couple of weeks on the Guitar Nerd Show. I think this week they're doing Weird Fuzzes or something.
I think it's Overdrives.
Yeah, some sort of like Best Overdrives or something like that. So that should be up. Well, it will be up by the time you hear this. So
will it? Well, maybe.
Well, who knows? Who knows?
See, Joe Branson's in charge.
See what sort of state he's in by Monday.
I mean, I'm not going to watch it.
Oh, what? I thought you watched every one.
No.
Brilliant. With that, we should call this a night. Thanks very much for joining us, and we will see you next time.
Cheers, gang.
Bye.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.